I know what News Corp does to people who challenge them. I know the devastation that News Corp brings upon the women, and they're nearly all women, who Murdoch's loyalists decide to target. I've seen my friends' lives destroyed by News Corp over a tweet, some words at a rally, for playing sport, for doing their jobs. I know deeply the mendacious bullying of Murdoch's tabloids of LGBTIQ people, like it's some sort of game or hunt. But fearing Murdoch and his loyalists is exactly how he's concentrated this much power in his hands. Journalists are scared to speak out about the impacts of Murdoch's monopoly on the media for fear they'll lose their livelihoods. Politicians are afraid to call Murdoch into line because over the decades they've been taught that if they challenge him and News Corp, they'll pay the price. It can't go on any longer. And so, working together, Australians for a Murdoch Royal Commission will take on Murdoch's media monopoly and push for a Royal Commission into media diversity. Without further ado, I would like to introduce former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, who is going to tell you a little bit more about how public pressure can change the minds of politicians and about why this organisation and this campaign is so important.
Let me speak to the subject that you just raised, which is how the Murdoch factor has swept across our country over so many decades now. And on top of that, why we should not feel powerless in what can now be done about it. So, in the next 4 or 5 minutes, I just want to talk about the power of one man. That's Murdoch. I want to talk about the fear that he induces, something Sally's already referred to. And then thirdly, a call to courage, which is what we can do about it in a practical sense to bring about a genuinely diverse Australian media environment. On the first one, the power of one man, here's my very simple argument. No individual should have as much power in the Australian democracy as Murdoch, Rupert, or Lachlan now has. No one. That's why, as a nation, we have for generations had deep reservations about any form of monopoly, let alone one in the news media. The figures are clear. 70% of the print readership owned by Murdoch, 100% in Queensland, 100% in South Australia. On top of that, through Sky Television, Australia's only 24-hour-a-day commercial news service. On top of that, Sky through YouTube, now the biggest YouTube channel carrying news in Australia, currently twice the size of the ABC. And bigger than the other commercial networks by a country mile. And beyond that, again, other platforms of power and influence. Australia's largest, for example, real estate advertising company, realestate.com.au, again, owned by Rupert Murdoch. The concentration of these powers is enormous. The abuse of this monopoly power over such a long period of time has been gross. Let me just give you one example. In the last decade, the last 20 federal and state elections, in all 20 of those elections, the Murdoch media monopoly has campaigned viciously in support of one political party, it's the Liberal National Party, and viciously against their opponents, the Australian Labor Party. You've virtually got a coalition arrangement between the Murdoch Party and the Liberal National Party. And that is cancerous for our democracy. That's why, in my judgment, Murdoch is a cancer in our democracy. That's my first point. Too much power in the hands of a single individual, let alone someone as ideologically far right as Murdoch, a person who almost single-handedly enabled Trump to come to power in the United States. Second is fear. Somebody's spoken about this. It's just wrong that we have so many Australians so fearful of taking on the Murdoch beast. But you know something, fear can be a rational response because they've seen so much evidence of what Murdoch does to shred people's reputations who dare stand up against him. It's not just the likes of myself or Malcolm Turnbull and others. Frankly, it's Australians from all walks of life, such as the testimonies we have heard from people in this launch event this evening. It's just wrong that people should feel so frightened of Murdoch, fearing the use and abuse of his monopoly against individuals who have a different point of view. I run into so many Australians in politics on both sides of the political divide, in business leadership who run corporations, leaders of community organisations and charities, average citizens who will give you chapter and verse on how Murdoch has misreported and refused to apologise for what they have printed. But those individuals are too fearful about taking him on direct because they fear the consequences. And that fear is, again, a cancer in our democracy. Which brings me, Sally, to the third and last point I wanted to emphasise at this launch. What can we do about it? Well, you know, Australians for a Murdoch Royal Commission, AFMRC, I want to become a phrase around the country that we use each day, hashtag Murdoch Royal Commission, so that it is heard right across every town and community, every suburb, every city, every community organisation, as we, as the people of this country, fight back against this one man who induces such fear. Guess what? Murdoch does not own this country, even though he thinks he does. The Australian people own this country, and we express our views through the ballot box, and we form, through our vote, the government of this country. So whether it's through the ballot box and what we do at the next federal election, or whether it's through direct forms of community action, Sally, like, for example, your support as the people participating in this launch tonight for the murdochroyalcommission.org.au, go to the website. If you cannot afford to donate, and we would appreciate your donation to build up our research team over time, then at least join our mailing list so that your voice can be added to ours through a social media network to get the message out about the need to end this monopoly. Share our content through your social media platform and through your voice. Spread the word to your family and your friends. There's another thing you can do as well, which is join AFMRC, the Murdoch Royal Commission.org, in taking complaints directly to media, to Murdoch himself, and failing that to the Australian Press Council or to the Australian Media and Broadcasting Authority, ACMA. I've done this myself. Murdoch hates it, particularly when you actually prevail, even though these still are fairly toothless tigers. I remember, for example, taking recently the Murdoch media to the Press Council on the question of a cartoon run which was deeply racist about the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, where the cartoonist happily referred to the Vice President of the United States or as the candidate for that position as that little brown girl. We won in that. They had to apologise, and then they attacked the regulator and attacked me for raising the complaint in the first place. But the point is, if we, in our thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands, add our voice to this, guess what? And complaints are made to ACMA and to the Press Council, it all adds up. Call out Murdoch's bias when you see it on a daily basis. Use your own media platforms, social media platforms, to do that. And please attend our own online events. And finally, the thing we can do together is to place pressure on the entire Australian political establishment to bring about, through legislation, this Murdoch Royal Commission, a Royal Commission into the future of media diversity, which looks at all media platforms, including the future of the Australian public broadcaster as well. To conclude, from little things, big things grow. We don't need to have an Australia where one man has so much power. We don't need to live in fear of how that power can be used against individuals, innocent individuals. And guess what? Through acting together and finding our common Australian voice, we can actually change the nation. When I put up a petition just 12 months ago calling for a Murdoch Royal Commission, I didn't know whether we'd get 500 signatures or 5,000 or maybe even 50,000. We ended up getting 500,000 plus. And that's after we crashed the entire site of the Australian Parliament. Australians are angry and fed up, Sally, about what this guy is doing to our country. And it doesn't need to be that way. So add your voice through signing up with Australians for a Murdoch Royal Commission, through donating if you can, through on top of that adding your voice and sharing our content on examples of bias, and then throwing your enormous collective weight through your local members of parliament in support of the establishment of Murdoch Royal Commission so that we get a change to our laws to enshrine better media diversity in the future. Back to you, Sally.
Thank you so much, Kevin. And I also just want to take the opportunity to thank the team at Victorian Trades Hall Council who have provided tremendous support in the last couple of weeks to help Australians for a Murdoch Royal Commission get to this point and to launch tonight. So thank you, team. Right, now I'm going to take you through our strategy presentation. Let me bring up these slides. I hope everybody can see them okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through our strategy and we're going to go through it backwards. Now, a lot of campaigns prefer not to share this sort of strategic information, thinking that it's not wise to put your cards on the table, or perhaps sometimes believing that people don't want to know how the sausage is made. I think that people do want to know how the sausage is made, and I also hope that each of you will like this strategy, will want to power this strategy, and if you have feedback on it, will let us know what your feedback is on this strategy. It's only going to work if we all do it together, and so I'm going to lay it out here tonight. So starting from the beginning, our goal, our ultimate goal of Australians for a Murdoch Royal Commission is we want to see a strong and independent media made up of fearless journalists, political independents, and diverse publications who can investigate and report the truth without editorial influence, contending with government secrecy or fear of public prosecution. Now, we believe that a Royal Commission, and only a Royal Commission, will have the authority, the resources and the independence to properly investigate the impacts of media monopolies on our communities, on the media and on our democracy. Before we finish this campaign launch, we have one more story to share with you. This person shared their story anonymously because, like so many people in our community who feel the impact of Murdoch's media monopoly, this is really close to home and it impacts his family. So he's spoken anonymously because he wants his privacy, but also because it takes a lot of courage to speak up against the Murdoch media.
For as long as I can remember, Mum's media diet has left a lot to be desired. As a teen, I was woken on weekdays by the sound of Alan Jones coming from her bedroom. She's always insisted she doesn't agree with everything he says, and she'll criticise him way after the fact for going too far, but even then his opinions manage to become hers time and time again. Alan Jones's move to Sky News changed something. At first, Mum was eager to add a second screen to my Foxtel package so she could stream Alan and his Sky News friends from her phone. Sky News hosts pushed YouTube streams and promoted the right-wing social media platform Parler. And almost overnight, Mum was swallowed by the alt-right media ecosystem. We rightly criticise the Murdoch media in Australia for the content they produce, but we rarely talk about how Sky News acts to steer people onto YouTube and towards the fringes. Mum's technical literacy is near zero, and if the YouTube algorithm serves her up a video after an Alan Jones Sky News clip, she doesn't understand that she is being nudged towards more inflammatory content to keep her engaged on the platform. If this were just quote-unquote entertainment, I suppose it would be harmless, but it has radically changed something in her. For weeks, at the end of 2020, she would steer every conversation back to the stolen election. She insisted on only buying pillows from alt-right media personality Mike Lindell, despite ridiculous postage fees and negative customer reviews. The woman who, when her nieces and nephews visited from Greece, would drag them to the local GP pretending to be their mother to get them vaccinated, became somebody who doubted COVID, social distancing, and vaccines. She cried when I got mine, even as she told me she was pro-vaccine. She cried as she said it was experimental. We didn't know what was in them. It was like watching two halves of her in conflict, one that believed the media she consumed hours of each day, and the other, her true self. But mention this to her, and she's defensive, quick to vibrate with rage to defend her media consumption of all things. In a word, it's terrifying. Health issues and the isolation of the pandemic has meant that it's a perfect storm for her indoctrination. Talking about anybody, from a Sky News After Dark personality to a pillow salesman, validates the talking points that everyone is conspiring against the right. I'm taking the advice from experts, avoiding confrontation, and instead focusing on talking to her about family and memories. And when I do, she's herself. We laugh at QAnon like it's a concern for the US, but as Sky News extends its reach to free-to-air and pushes people with very passive media consumption habits and low media and technical literacy to YouTube, and then onto Newsmax, it, or something like it, will be our problem soon enough.